Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
And I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Yes, you are. Each week we get together, we talk about cars, motorsport, F1, cars. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can watch us on youtube.com/behindtheglass. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. And Tony, if people want to support this podcast, what should they do?
Watch it.
No. But also head to Patreon. You can support us on patreon.com/behindtheglass. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Now, I wish there was more fanfare around this, but we failed in our planning. This is our 100th episode of Behind the Glass.
Can't you do some cheering in the background?
Hey!
No. Oh. Not you. You know, over.
Via editing.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I thought you meant just me just being like...
No.
Yeah, I mean, we had been talking for a while about this and we said that we were going to do something to celebrate and then we just got distracted. I mean, you've been busy. I've been busy.
No, we are going to do something.
We will do... that. Okay, so yes. We'll still do something.
Just not today.
Just not today. But this is our 100th episode. I mean,
well done.
I think we've said before, you haven't been on every single one. We've had various seasons in various different locations. But that's quite a big number. And I think we should be quite proud of that.
I wonder how many I've been on. I bet I've been on 80.
Yeah, I reckon you've been on 80. There were very few that I did without you.
Yeah, yeah.
Early on, there were a handful. But the majority you've been on. Because, you know, that's why we started it, isn't it? Because we were just still having these long, long conversations about cars. I mean, we should record this one day. Anyway, huge thanks to everyone for your continued support, allowing us to get to this kind of crazy number. Here's to 200 episodes. We've got to shout out a few new patrons. We love our new patrons. Clint Wilford. Now, Clint is a legend.
Is he?
Do you remember when I went to Dubai during Drive the World and I ended up driving a very nice yellow Pista for a week?
And a Speciale.
I
remember.
Yeah, you do.
Of course.
They were Clint's.
Oh, hello, Clint.
Oh, yes, we love you, Clint. Good man. So thank you very much for supporting the podcast.
They still got him?
Yeah. Oh, mate, he's got everything.
Has he?
He's a hero. But Marcus Jewell, Matthew Binden, and Andre Levi? Andrew?
Hello, Andre.
We're going to go for that. So yeah, anyway, happy times over here on the podcast. Now...
Are they new ones?
Yeah, those are all new ones. I only shout out the new ones.
Oh.
Well, that's a bad thing, isn't it? I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean it like that. Yeah. But like the people who buy into the reward that deserves a shout out, hopefully should have all received shout outs by now.
Good.
And as and when new ones come in, we shout out the new ones.
And if you haven't, resubscribe. Yeah,
if you haven't been shouted out and you've signed up for a while, let me know because I should have shouted you out a while ago. Yeah. That's awkward. Thanks for calling me out, Tony.
Sorry about that.
Now, you rushed up here today because, of course, it was raining and cold outside, so you ran up the stairs.
Well, I need a wee.
Well, that too. I didn't want to out you on the podcast, but you didn't put your head downstairs.
Oh, you got... Wait. No, I didn't because I needed a wee. I went straight upstairs. There's a car downstairs.
There's an F-Type downstairs.
F-Type. Oh, the new one?
Nope. SVR.
You've bought it? Have you really?
I wish. So, the absolute heroes at Alexander's Prestige, who I went to visit loads of times last year, basically picked up on the fact that on this podcast and in some content, I've been banging about F-Type. And they went, we've just got a really nice SVR in stock. And I was like, oh, damn you, I hate you. And they went, do you want to come and check it out? And I was like, oh, well, restrictions. We'll send it to you. I was like, oh, come on.
Really?
So they literally trucked it down this morning.
It was outside
the
lorry.
Yeah. The lorry was outside this morning. Apparently for like some of their VVIP customers, like on special circumstances, they're willing to truck cars around for test drives. I was like, you know, I'm not a VIP customer. And they just replied, ... yet. And I was like, I can see what you're trying to do here. So yeah, I've got this SVR for a few days, which of course I'm going to film. But yeah, I won't say too much more because it will end up being a main channel video. But I'm like a giddy child knowing that that car is downstairs.
Blue one.
No. Black.
Black one. That's what I'd have it
2018 or 19 plate. So the, I think 2019. I have to double check. But super, super nice. And yes, this is now becoming a bit of a theme. We're talking about it a lot. I feel like I'm putting the pressure on myself. But this will be the first time I've driven an old shape F-Type for a couple of years, since the end of Drive the World, really.
So they listen, Alexander Prestige?
Yeah, because that's how they got in touch. Okay, well, I mean, I speak to them pretty much all the time. They're, we have a similar relationship, the guys at Alexander's Prestige. I'm in a WhatsApp group and we just chat cars.
Okay, good.
But yeah, they picked up on the chat here on the podcast.
So if they give me some money, I can persuade you to buy it.
How are you going to persuade me?
Don't worry about that.
Okay. Well, Adam, Andrew, I know you're listening. So if you want to get in touch with Tony, there could be a deal to be done for all of us. Anyway, big news this week. And the reason why we're actually recording this a little bit delayed, usually we record our episodes on a Monday. Today's a Wednesday. That's because on Monday, I was driving the brand new BMW M3.
Is that still embargoed?
No, it's an embargo has been released.
What day is it today?
It's Wednesday, the 10th of March.
So I know two lads that are picking M4 competitions up on Friday. Because that's the release day of them.
So yes, me and what feels like 10 bazillion journalists around the world all got our chance to experience the new M3 or M4 over the last few weeks. I think actually the press drives are continuing, so there's going to be more content to come. And so, you know, listeners of the podcast who watch a lot of YouTube car content probably would have seen a lot, but, you know, JWW, Paul, I think, is doing an experience later in the week. I think Archie's going along. You know, there's going to be a ton of content on this car.
Paul's doing it.
That's
a crash.
It is a crash, but he did obviously own the old M3, which he tried to crash weekly. It was his drifting stage. And worryingly, the new car's got a drift mode, so we're really in trouble. But yeah, so it's not new news by now, because this podcast is going out 24 hours after the embargo, so there's already so much content on that car.
So when did it? When the embargo lifted? Yesterday? Today?
It was this morning, which for those of you listening, was yesterday.
Right.
So that's why all the reviews are already out. But I thought we'd talk about it anyway.
Yeah, interested about that car.
Share my thoughts and opinions. So the first thing we'll say, let's address the looks. Because it's the main talking point. Everyone's been banging on about it for the last few months.
Well, it is for you.
No, but it is for the internet. Everyone's been banging on about the way it looks.
I mean, it looks all right.
I know you do. And that's the whole point. That's why we're talking about this. Yeah. I still don't think it looks all right.
Okay.
And I'm not just banging on about that front grille. I've moved on from the front grille because, you know, that's, we all get used to 720S. Oh, it looks so weird. Now we're like, oh, it looks all right. I spent the whole day trying to get a good angle of that car because, you know, a little bit of insight into how I film my videos. One of the first things I usually do when I'm filming a car review is get the, what I call B-roll, static shots of the car in a scenic location. It helps get me excited. I walk around, I go, oh, it looks great, it looks amazing. And then I want to jump in and go for a drive and I'm usually buzzing with energy for that moment. With the M3, every time I got out, I was like, like I couldn't frame it or find an angle of that entire car where I thought it looked good. It's awkward. And it's not just that front grille.
Oh, you're the sort of bloke that goes in a nightclub and tries to pull a 10, aren't you? Every time. You're that bloke, aren't you? I'm the type of bloke to go in. I just have the fat one, first one I see, and that's that. Bitch, bash, bash, I'm going home.
Difference in standards, I suppose. Yeah. I'm not even sure how to comment on that, but anyway. The point being, as I say, forget the front grille. There's something about the rest of the car. It's awkwardly proportioned. Firstly, they've just done these weird small changes across the car. Like, for example, the wheels, now they're staggered, 19 and 20 inch wheels, front and rear.
Not Mercedes.
They still look very small. And I don't know whether it's the housing or the flared arches or what, but the wheels look unnaturally small. If you think of the old M3, really, the wheels filled its arches very well. It always looked quite mean and had a good stance, I thought. This car looks almost a bit floaty. And then it's kind of long. And it is bigger than the old. No, you laugh, but I'll be super interested. Because you haven't seen one in the flesh yet, have you?
No, I've seen a normal one, but not an M3 or 4.
So I agree, a 440i, I think is quite good looking.
Yeah.
But I really want you to see and wait and see this new M3 in the flesh.
Okay.
And spend some time with it. Because I went in there being like, who cares about the grill? Let's get over this. Maybe it's going to, you know, grow on me. I just couldn't find a good angle.
So it's odd that you say that they got 19s and 20s because the original M4 comp, the outgoing one, mm-hmm. essentially, has got 20s all round.
Yeah, so this was a new thing, I think, for the cars, wasn't it? To do the staggered sizing. Yeah. And it does make that front wheel look small.
Amazing. And did it have that? Because I always thought that the M3 was always the better looking car, it had the better stance, and it was always the better looking car than the M4. Has it got that big stance present on the back?
See, that's what I don't think. I think it's now not got those wide hips. I think maybe they've made the front wider as well, or so it's lost that kind of meaty stance. It definitely stands, like, it looks different. But it doesn't look as aggressive. It just looks overstyled. Like, even the wing mirrors, they're now these really boxy wing mirrors. And actually, I watched the Chris Harris video this morning, and he picked up on that as well. I didn't want to mention it because I thought it was a bit of a weird thing to talk about. Then I saw it. I was like, okay, fine. Somebody else noticed it as well. They're these really, really boxy and over-designed. Everything about the car feels like it's been over-designed. And if you read the the print on the BMW website, it seems like they've done this on purpose. They want this car to stand out from the crowd. When I would argue previous M3s, actually a lot of their plus points have been that they haven't really. You know, there's the smallest of details that car aficionados notice, but most people don't realise that it's anything other than a standard 3 Series saloon.
Mm.
Whilst this is very in your face.
Yeah, I'd half disagree with that. I get what you're saying, but the old M3, if you saw one of them come up behind you because of its stance, you would know it was an M3. From what you're describing to me, the new M3 is like the current M5. It's really not that leery. You know, if you take the badges of a current M5, it just looks like a normal 5 Series.
Yeah, but the new M3, I'm saying completely the opposite. It's really in your face, in a point where it's not easy to look at.
Apart from the bigger arches, but is it in your face because of the grille?
The grille helps, but everything about it, it doesn't sit naturally in your mind. When you keep looking at it going, what's off? And there's various different factors at play where, as I say, it just feels a little over-designed. Yeah. We've done exactly what I didn't want to do and spend literally 5 minutes talking about the way it looks, which we've all been doing for the last 3 months. So I'm determined to move on. But that's what I'm saying. I'll be intrigued to see what you think when you see one in the flesh. I'm definitely getting used to the grille. And I think in different specs, the grille actually sometimes almost looks, dare I say it, good. Mm. But it's the rest of the car just didn't quite come together. But let's talk about how it drives, because that's the most important thing. Yeah, let's not judge a book by its cover.
Can't see it from the inside.
Now, help me out here, because I was never a big fan of the previous M3, M4.
Okay.
I just didn't like it. I found it just a bit of a brute. It never felt that settled on the road. It was a tiny bit sort of shouty aggressive in the sense that it was all just a bit, you know, and it hit a bump. And I don't know. I just didn't like it. It felt like a blunt instrument.
Fair.
Now, as we all know, I'm becoming increasingly an elder gentleman and enjoying the softer ride of a car. Now, this new M3, like so many other cars, felt a lot softer around the edges.
More refined.
Definitely more refined. Now, I'm not enough of an aficionado to go, that's a good thing or a bad thing, because I actually like the fact that it's been a little bit softer. The steering, for example, is super light and basically void of much sensation. But I quite enjoyed that, weirdly. Okay. It's very direct, but you don't really feel anything. It's just it's direct. The gearbox is now that, I think it's a ZF automatic.
Yeah, it will be 8-speed, yeah.
So smooth, you barely notice a gear change happening, which is a sort of nice when you're cruising around town, but when you start getting on it, it's a little bit disappointing.
Yeah.
And then the ride in comfort mode is so stupendous. It's so buttery smooth. I took the car to a similar road that I took the Abarth Competizione, which, I mean, as we know, that's got like bricks for suspension, so a weird thing to judge. But I knew the road was bumpy, and this car was just gliding along it. Never that upset. I went over one big crest, and okay, fine, traction kicked in. So if traction was off, I might have been in a hedge. But, you know, the car just didn't seem fazed by anything. And so whilst I was super impressed, really enjoyed it, the long story short, the point I'm trying to get at, I think it felt like an M345i rather than an M3. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so I would say that's a compliment to the M345i, because it's a problem with the M5, mate. If you get in a 540 or a 530, it's just as good to drive down the road, unless you want to go really fast, and you shut your eyes and you're a passenger, you would know no different between the two cars. And is that the normal models are that good now, or the sportier models are just even more refined and less special? I don't know.
I think that's it. I think that new M3, it was for me a better car in every way than the old one, which, let's face it, is very old now. I mean, but you know, so much and appealed to me more, but actually was inherently therefore a little bit less special because it felt like many other BMWs that I've driven. I mean, that engine we know is already in the X3 M. We've already seen it, right? So it didn't feel that special as an engine. It felt quick. And there were a couple of moments where I remember where I sort of was joining roads or I was turning at a junction and it just gathered pace in such a nice way.
X-Drive. It's four-wheel drive, isn't it?
No. So that's coming later in the year. Fair. The one I was driving was a rear-wheel drive. But even still, so much grip. So much grip.
Step about and move about like the old car.
I mean, I wasn't pushing hard enough on the roads that I was on to get it to do that. It's just a weird one where I think it's if you were trying to replace your old M3, would you get in that and go, God, I love it? Probably. But would you go, I don't know if it's as M3-ish. Maybe it's just the direction that, you know, BMW are going in, but it didn't feel as engineered. It probably is, but it felt more bland. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the biggest problem we got with these modern cars, and they are always better in general, manufacturers, when they build a car.
It's been nearly 10 years between the generations.
Yeah. From the start of production to you're right. But what, you know, in general, manufacturers always bring better cars out than the old car, of course, because it's evolution. Or is it evolution?
Yeah, of course.
So we expected it to be better. I didn't really want to talk about it, but I think we should. The price of it. We like to talk about price on this.
75 grand?
And a bit more, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I spec one up after the press drive, I think up to 88 pretty easily.
All right, so it's double the money of the current one. So you can have a 2020 current car, essentially, or a 2019 current car for 40 grand or 40, early 40s. The new car's double the money.
Personally, I would pay double the money.
Really?
I do, just for me, as I said, I was never a big fan of that previous M3, M4.
But a lot of people loved it, mate.
I mean, as I know, because my YouTube channel nearly got shut down from abuse when I talked about how much I didn't like it. But it is a much better car. It is a much better car.
Yeah.
I just think it's a different approach from BMW, where I think it might actually open up the M3 market. I think they might attract more or different customers who maybe wouldn't have considered an M3 before because it was a bit too in your face, a bit too, in terms of driving experience, a bit too hardcore. This, because of how refined it is, I think more people will want that experience, will want to be able to... Yeah, so I would do that. I wouldn't, even at half the price, I wouldn't go for the old M3. But this new one, I'm like, as a car to drive, and I spent all day in it, mate. I spent all day in it, in every single scenario, motorways, towns, small roads. And it was really nice, except when I got out.
Did it feel like a little M5?
No, I think it felt like its own thing. And so the interesting thing is obviously the weight. So it's gained, this is quite unbelievable, I think, 170 kilos over the previous generation.
Blimey. And that's not even an X-Drive car.
Exactly. I made that video the other day comparing my 996 911 with a 992, and we worked out over 20 years the Carrera S has gained 120 kilos for 20 years. In between generations, the M3 has gained 170 kilos.
So, what is it, 1.8 ton?
It's exactly that. I think it's actually 1780 or something like that. So just under 1800 kilos, which is nuts. But it didn't feel that heavy on the road. I think with that super light steering and stuff like that, and the steering is very direct, and then the way that it can pick up its speed, because it's only 0.1 second quicker than the outgoing one, I think, is 0 to 60. So I don't know. I did really like it, but I walked away going a little bit like I'd spent the day in a 340i. Like, you know, I didn't feel like, wow, that's an M3. Okay. Because even I didn't like the old one, I recognized what it was.
All right, so... that as a scenario, M340i, if we go new to new,
yeah,
nearly double the price.
So what is it? So an M340, oh, so yeah, M340i.
It's 40 odd grand.
Really? On the road, I'm not sure that the M3 would be worth it. I don't think you'd notice enough of a step forward over a 340i on the road. And interestingly, BMW UK might not like me saying this, but when I got back and I was having this conversation with them, talking about my experience, oh, there goes my WhatsApp again. Maybe that was BMW UK saying, don't tell the story.
Don't say it. Yeah.
But they said, you know, I think the... if we were launching this car out of COVID, we would have been launching it at a track. And I think people need to experience that track to really understand the capabilities of this car. And I think therefore they were admitting, or they were aware of the fact that on the road, its increased capabilities as a road car remove some of the specialness of its on-track abilities. And, you know, you see like Chris Harris, a few of them took it on track and were sliding around everywhere and saying it was great. But yeah, therefore, okay, so that's going to be my summary, actually. If you're never going to track the thing, if you're going to use it as a daily, save the money and get a 340i.
Okay.
If you do think you're going to track it, or if you are only ever going to be driving it super hard on amazing roads, get the M3.
Okay.
Interior, by the way, those seats with the weird, like, carbon...
Like that?
Weird, mate.
Really? Yeah, didn't right, like mate. It.
Well, what? There's a bit of carbon where your doodah goes.
Oh. Oh, what? Is it that big for it to be that far forward?
Not for me. So yeah, interesting experience. Hope to spend more time with one or the other car at some point, go on a bit more of an adventure. Because it was a very nice car to spend time in, and I think it would be cool to take to Germany or visit the Nürburgring or something, because I'm sure it would be very capable.
What about the tech in it?
Fantastic. Okay, I mean, the BMW infotainment system, I do still think is the best out there today.
Yeah,
it is really, really fantastic. Fair. Another experience I had recently, Defender. So I went off with Paul, actually, to Eastnor, which is a lovely estate in the sort of, what would you call that? West Midlands. It's for off-roading experience in the new Defender. Now, we know that you had a bit of a up and down experience with the Defender.
I did, yeah.
But I've been increasingly... Well, no, you loved it, but then you had issues, right?
I still loved the car, though, mate. I still, it was a great car.
The amount of people that when I said I'm thinking of buying one went, even after Tony's experience?
Yeah, but just to make it clear, I do think it's a good car. They just break. But that's just not Defenders. That's all Land Rovers in general.
And as many horror stories as there are some good ones as well.
Of course.
Nothing broke on the car that I was driving that day. And we were bashing it around.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I definitely enjoyed it. And I have to say, the big thing that I realise is how good that car looks off-road, as it should. Much better off-road than on-road. Because I still think it looks a bit odd at times on the road.
No, I really look well.
You still really like it?
When you see it, it's got real presence on the road, especially if you get like one that I had, all the black pack and all the right wheels and that on him. And yeah, I really think they've got a big stance. And
I do think it's very spec dependent, that car. Yeah. I think you can get it very wrong very easily. You know, in my mind, before the car really launched or hit the road, I was always like, I've got to have the Steelies and got to be the 90, and I'd go the base spec as possible. But actually now, you're right, the kind of murdered out versions or the highly modified ones, I think are looking cooler.
Me too, yeah.
And weirdly, so one of the guys, when I was thinking about taking an SUV or a sort of bigger car on Drive the World, I was speaking to a guy at the No Road Club who do a lot of sort of modifications for World Defenders, but lots of different SUVs, 4x4s, and they were going to partner up on some stuff at one point. But we've been chatting ever since. And I was texting him about the exact same thing, saying I just drove Defender, talking about Urban, for an example. And he said that the modification scene on new Defender is insane.
I bet.
Like, literally people are going nuts for it. Because I think it's a car that takes mods well.
It's a bandwagon as well, mate. It's the newest thing out, and the old Defender could be very heavily modified and
personalized as well.
Yeah, that's the big thing. You can personalize them,
and that, you know, Land Rover themselves even offer so much personalization. You know, that lunchbox you can put on the side, which is, you know, I don't really see the point in it,
horrific.
But and the ladder to climb on the roof. This is the thing about that car, is like, it's so nice. Why would you climb on the roof? Like, I get why you would on the old one. I do get the idea of it. Like, if you were hunting wild animals in Africa, which you shouldn't do, you might want to climb on the roof. But what are you going to do in Sloan Square, climb on your roof so you can see the Bugatti at the end of the street?
Yeah,
I probably would, to be honest.
Yeah, you would.
But anyway, I asked Phil to send over some information about like what is popular, because I was just intrigued to see that you say loads of stuff being sold. What are you guys seeing? So he said that the genuine Land Rover accessories are insanely popular. So people are buying Boggo spec cars, either new or used, and then ordering things. So like the mud flaps, the air intake, the big snorkel. I think that looked cool, I have to say. I saw a couple of the cars at Land Rover that had those side steps, ascended wheel arches, etc. And those are all genuine accessories, which I think is...
Yeah, dealer fit.
That's quite cool. That can still be done. But the one thing he said people are going nuts for, the smoked rear lights, which I didn't realize they were apparently an option on the Defender X, which was the crazy nearly 100 grand one. And they're on the V8, but now you can basically get them on all the other ones. So people are going nuts apparently for smoked lights. Because they're weird, the tail lights on the Defender, you've got like 17 of them.
You have got so many.
There's so many, it's another thing that I get weird about. But I'm just seeing what else he sent through. He's gone 20-inch wheels, 20, it's a genuine wheel options as seen on the vehicle used in the Telegraph. Oh, okay, so he sent some images through. So of course, big wheels, everyone's going to go nuts for, aren't they? 18-inch wheels to do a bit more off-roading. The Evo Course Dakar Zero is a motorsport-derived wheel. Super strong. Oh, that's look. Oh, he sent a picture of that. That looks awesome. So yeah, I think I'm still intrigued as a replacement for the X3, and I would love to get one and then call up Phil, no road club, and just be like, kid it out, mate. Just put it, just go.
Yeah, fair. Just go in.
Because I think it's cool, and I would do the same if I bought an old Defender, and this was my whole resolution is, somehow Land Rover have managed to take across all the things that were great about old Defender into the new one, despite it looking completely different.
Of course. I mean, undoubtedly, it was very good off-road, right?
Oh, yeah, fantastic. As it had to be.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the old one was good, but it wasn't as good as Land Rover claimed, because the Range Rover Sports and the Vogues were actually better off-road.
Well, let's face it, it was 60 years old by that point. Yeah, so, the tech hadn't really moved on. But
but
the new one, and some of the stuff that it can do, for example, on the new Defender, it's got something called like Wade Mode Pro. So if you're living somewhere in the UK that gets flooded regularly and you approach what looks like a flooded road, you can push a button and it like closes off all the air vents for the engine and things like that, and so you could submerge yourself, come out the other side, and then open it all up, which is like this clever stuff.
So I use that. We've got we've got a Ford.
I love a Ford
near our work, and I underestimated how deep it was.
We're going down
to the point I started floating. Oh no, my God. No, but as I went in, I was using that mode. And I thought, oh no, it's a bit deeper than I thought, because I'd forgot it'd been raining and the Ford was flooded. But it went through fine, mate. It just went through.
Yeah, like, just breezed. Breezed.
It was up over the windscreen.
Well, it's got an auto sensor as well, so it does it all for itself.
It was up over the windscreen.
Over the windscreen.
Mate, no. Like the water was like over the bonnet on the windscreen as I went through. Like it was... And
was anyone watching?
My daughter was in the car. She thought it was hilarious. And I didn't say anything. Obviously, she's four.
Yeah.
But I thought, as I was going through, I'm thinking, I hope we don't float, because this is actually really deep. But we went through.
I definitely would have floated in the X3.
Yeah, oh yeah, gone.
Look, let me know out there. I'm so intrigued by other people's thoughts about this car, because it does divide opinion. If you've got one and you've modified one, also I want to see, I'm going to throw up some images from Philip, no road club, as I say, of the stuff that he's been doing, because I do think it looks awesome. And I'm just biding my time. You know, I'm in no big rush here. I still want to get closer. I haven't experienced a 90 yet, which is the one that I think I'd want to go for. So I don't know what to do, but...
So you'd want the most impractical just because of the looks?
Yeah, but you say this. Is it that impractical? The only thing which is impractical
it's only got three doors.
Yeah, but... So...
No room in the back?
Plenty of room in the back if you put the seats down for...
Oh, that's handy.
For cargo. So it's just people getting in and out. But somebody told me that because the front doors are so big and wide, and if you slide the seats forward, the access is easy.
Oh, so how are you going to do that when the front seats are down because you need some room in the back? Sorry, the back seats are down when you need some room in the back. You don't have anyone in the back. I mean, it's useless.
Mm.
You haven't really thought about that, have you?
Looks cool, though. No, I mean, I have, because that was the whole thing I said in the first video. I was like, I really like the idea of the 90, but it's just not as practical as the 110.
Of course not.
The 110's huge. But then when you start putting bits on it, like here, like, you know, you can start putting all the crazy bits on it. It somehow shrinks the car a bit. Once you put the snorkel and the mud flaps and the roof cage and everything, it does start to shrink it a bit. And maybe that's the route to go.
I mean, it is big, mate, but we established it's no longer than your X3. Yeah. Oh, I don't really know what you're saying to me.
Nor do I. Shall we move on? Anyway, if you're interested in modifying a Defender or seeing what Philip at No Road Club gets up to, I'll put a link to his website below. Big thanks to him for sending over that info for us to have a little chat about. So a bit of not new car news, but car news that we can dive into. Taycan Cross Turismo, which we expected to launch a month or so ago, has finally launched, which is kind of like their A6 all-road. As much as I love the Taycan, I see no point of because, well, let's face it, you're not going to be able to charge and then go on some big adventure. Where
Safari.
I mean, like...
Well, it's going to get stuck.
Literally, I mean, you could... And surely if you're... If the terrain is loose, is that what you would say? If the ground is loose, you're probably going to use more battery for the traction systems. And I'm making this up. I'm just assuming these things.
Well, there's one other problem. What if you ground out and put a hole in one of the batteries?
Well, there you go. So yeah, we're not going to be buying that car. Looks good though.
I haven't seen it.
Oh no, it looks good. It's like a Panamera Sport Turismo, but a Taycan.
A6 Allroad.
A6 Allroad.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Interesting car. Aston Martin, your favorite brand?
No.
I think you are coming around to them, aren't you, a bit? Well, as a brand.
Yeah, because they seem to be doing things a little bit more properly now. Mm. Like the old days when they... shut their eyes when they put them together. I mean, it's not, at least it's modern now. At least, you know, a 2019 car isn't fundamentally 40 years old underneath.
I'm quite amazed to be hearing this. I mean, I knew you were coming round, but...
Well, I'm not coming round.
This is positivity.
No, I'm not coming round. I actually like... Actually, I don't like it. No, I was going to say the new Vantage, but I don't like it.
Why don't you like it?
I just don't. I just don't like it, mate. I don't like it.
Have you driven it?
Yes, I have driven it, yeah. And Paul Wallace is trying to get me to buy one. I mean, he's deluded the boy, buy his own one. And I like the DBS.
Oh, you've always liked the DBS, actually.
Yeah, I like the DBS.
And at 150 grand?
Yeah, yeah. Great car.
Great car.
Yeah.
I was actually disappointed by it, but we'll skip past that.
I have no interest for the DBX.
Nope.
I have no interest for the DB11.
Sure.
I would have loved to have craved Aston to bring out a GT3 rival in the Vantage.
Yeah. Hey.
I don't think they're ever going to do it, but.
I would have expected by now. I know they did. Oh my God, why did I stumble so much there? They did the Pro, didn't they? What was it called? The AMR. Thank you. But there's still not. Where's Vantage S? Where's V12 Vantage? We don't think is ever happening, but who knows? I would have expected that by now, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Maybe the pandemic
slowed
things down slightly.
No, I don't think. From what I know, I don't think there was ever a plan to build a... Because you'd think the AMR's sort of a 911 GTS rival, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Bit softer, innit? It's
but
not a...
Aston don't do the GT3
correct.
Products.
Yeah.
They don't do that hardcore
should.
Stuff. Oh, I agree!
Yeah.
Just like Jag, but they're going electric.
Because it's a good motorsport now. They do well in GT3 and
F1.
GT4 and F1, yeah. So,
which is why...
Well, they haven't done well yet.
No, but... They are supplying the safety car now.
Good. Yeah, I saw that, actually.
Yeah. So alternating with Mercedes, Vantage safety car alongside the AMG GTR. I don't think it's a Pro, weirdly, the safety car.
It's not.
The Mercedes
is
a GTR. Odd that, isn't it?
Really
why wouldn't
odd.
You have a Black Series?
Well, it's a lot of money. I mean, it's 300 odd grand.
Mercedes is like, no. That goes to Schmee. So, yeah, this is a new deal. And I like this because I say it's a lot of positivity around the Aston brand. Mm. You know, there's a lot of good talk around the team. I like all the branding. They're doing some things on the road cars. We're hearing bad news about things like Valhalla, and Valkyrie seems to be going in a different direction. Anyway, some good news. But I personally hated the look of the Vantage safety car. They've stuck this real dodgy wing on the back, which I don't think looked good at all.
Mm.
And if you think about how good the Vantage GT3 car looks, the actual race car.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, why not use some of that?
Yeah.
I guess you're trying to sell the actual Vantage, aren't you? So that's why. But,
that's why, yeah.
But then don't put a dodgy wing on it. Because I say, like, it's a beautiful car, the Vantage. Why ruin it?
Because
you need the downforce. I'm answering my own questions here. But you liked it, or what did you think?
I didn't give it a second thought.
Okay.
I'm not really that interested.
But it's the first time in like 20 years that there's not going to be only a Mercedes safety car.
Okay, good.
That's quite cool.
Very good, yeah.
You don't care?
No.
Oh my God. So as of next week, my F1, weekly F1, not weekly, my F1 special episodes of the podcast are starting.
Good, I'm not on them.
Nope.
Thank God.
I know people are going to be upset about that, but we're going to have interchanging other guests because we'll talk about F1 still here, don't worry. But comments like that infuriate me.
Well, I'm not a massive F1 fan.
And that's the problem. So that's exactly
I watch it and I appreciate it, but yeah, I'm not a nerd like you.
I know. No. Anyway, and just now the new Ferrari F1 car just launched, which was the last of all the lineup. So livery, medium. Not as exciting as I was hoping, but
well, it's red.
It is what it is. It's, yeah, let's not get into it. As you said, you're not a fan. You're just going to wind me up.
I'm going to wind you up, yeah.
So I want to get into today's kind of alternative big topic, which was an article I found talking about the best-selling cars around the world.
Oh, in general?
I thought we could have some fun with this. So this is country by country. What is the best-selling car in each country? Now, this is not for us to guess because I can see you panicking. We're being told what it is, so it's for us to react to. This is a global podcast, as we know.
I could have had a guess.
Well, I'll let you have a guess. That would be the game. You guess and I'll tell you what it is. Because, you know, we are number one in, as we discovered, Mauritius, Belarus. Was it Pakistan or Iraq?
Yeah, one of them.
It's bad that we've forgotten. But anyway, so hopefully we're going to have listeners from each of these countries and we want to know if, you know, this is correct. So it is a top 30. We might whittle through some of them quite quickly, but I'll be interested to see what you say. So we're going to kick things off with Iraq. What do you think the biggest selling car in Iraq is?
A tank. No?
I was so hoping you were going to say that. This is not really scripted, by the way. No, it's not a tank. It's a tank. Apparently Iraq's a really nice place to go visit when there's not things going on.
A war.
Kia Sorento.
Is it?
Yeah, 7,500 Kia Sorentos sold in Iraq last year.
So every family's got one?
Apparently.
Amazing.
Interesting that, right? Okay, Morocco.
Morocco.
Yeah.
Well, that's a tiny place.
Tiny place, but more cars sold than Iraq. You're never going to get this one.
No, go on.
Dacia Docker.
Oh, it's a minivan. I don't even know what that is.
It looks like an Uber. It looks like a... Let me turn this a bit so you can see exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Go on,
Dacia. Like a Renault Kangoo.
God knows what.
With windows.
Now, that's a big market, or at least a big market for listeners. The Netherlands. What do you reckon the Netherlands' biggest selling car was?
Is it German?
It's not.
Really?
It's not.
French?
I actually can't remember where this maker's from. I think it's Asian.
What? Really?
Hold on.
Hyundai.
Keep guessing.
No!
Yeah, it's Asian. Phew, thank God.
What? Tell me.
Kia Niro.
The little car.
No, it's an estate. It's like a bit of an all-road estate. You're not going to know any of these cars. 11,000 Kia Niros sold in the Netherlands.
Amazing.
So, you know, quirky, weird, a car that we don't even know about. This is why I love this list, because it's kind of interesting. Like, who would have known, right? Total sales of new cars, 356,000 in the Netherlands. And then the Niro followed by the ID3 from Volkswagen, the electric
car.
Yeah. That's pretty nuts, isn't it?
Really, really nuts.
So the Netherlands are getting on the electric vibes. And then we've got some slightly more recognisable ones. The Hyundai Kona, the VW Polo, and the XC40 in the Netherlands.
Yeah. XC40, yeah, yeah.
Now, this one you should guess, hands down. If you don't, you're mad. Sweden.
Sweden.
Sweden. Use your brain.
Volvo.
Yes. Go on, the Swedes. You never let us down. And you know what's so funny? During Drive the World, we crossed the border from Finland into Sweden. Now, I do not joke. We crossed the border and every car became a Volvo. Like, I was like, what is going on? And I talked about it in the vlog. Like, everything just became a Volvo.
Yeah, yeah.
They stick to what they know and what they like.
Good car though, mate.
Volvo. I love the design of modern Volvos. Mm. I mean, I see some of them, even not even the sort of Polestar-y stuff. Like, what's the saloon? Is it an S60 saloon?
They do a 60, they do a 40, 60, and 80.
Okay, I think it's the S60 saloon, I think I saw. Red one with nice wheels. And
A6 size.
Yeah, yeah, that's about it. Yeah, yeah. I think that's what I'm thinking of. Anyway, they're super nice. So apparently the S/V60, the estate, is what's most popular, 18,500 sales in Volvo. I mean, as I say, they didn't let us down. I love it. Good on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Only thing which I don't know, like, what's a Volvo like inside? Like, what's the tech like and stuff?
It needs updating now. It was very good when it came out. You know, when the new XC90 come out and the sure. XC40 and that. It's a little, when you compare it to the Germans now, it's a little bit slow and dim-witted. Okay. But it looks beautiful.
It looks nice?
Yeah, they just need to, I think they just need to update their cabins a little bit more now. That it was like class leading, mate, when it come out. They were like spaceships, but it just started to fall off a bit.
Yeah. Would you ever have one? Like, because why don't you and I, for example, lust after Volvos? They're just a bit too sensible, maybe, are they? Because they look great.
They've got a very loyal customer base, Volvo. Mm. Very,
as the Swedes approved.
Very, very loyal. They're very good car. They're very safe. I think when they modernised them, especially now the current range, they have gone after the Germans essentially, and they've achieved it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like everyone just overlook it, don't you?
Just overlook it, yeah. And I don't really know why. They're super nice cars,
yeah.
But maybe it's a different part of the market. We're too enthusiast, I think, maybe.
Possibly, yeah.
Poland. What do you reckon the top-selling car in Poland was last year?
Poland? Yep. BMW?
Nope.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that too, actually.
They like a BMW, the Polish.
Not as much as the Bulgarians. So that wasn't a dig. Oh. Just tell you some information. Skoda, Octavia.
Ah!
The Poles love a good Skoda Octavia. So, you know, well done there. Most popular car, followed by the Toyota Corolla and Yaris. The Yaris, very popular in Poland. You know, they've got some really nice cars in Poland. Like, I'm talking about supercar stuff. Mm. Like, proper whips.
Yeah, yeah.
My time in Poland during Drive the World, some of my favorite, I really enjoyed Poland.
Did you?
I'm going back there as soon as I can. Like, that's top content to be done there.
Okay, fair.
Top content. Argentina. Now, okay, again, you probably might be able to guess this. Think Argentina, big, rugged, a lot of high mountains, a lot of off-road.
Land Cruiser.
Close.
Pathfinder, Nissan.
No, you were closer before. It's got to be able to take off rough terrain. It must survive in all conditions.
G-Wagon.
No. Oh my. As if Argentina does it. You were really close before. But just think of it as you're going to... What do Argentinians... put your sheep in the back.
Well, it's a truck then. Pickup truck. Hilux.
Yes. Right on. I knew you could get that. Toyota Hilux, biggest selling in Argentina. I think that kind of makes sense. You know, like I say, like big, rough, like if you think of Argentina, like off-road, doing bits and bobs, I think that's good.
Very good.
Let's call the Hilux.
And have you seen the new one? Are you not really into?
No, I'm not really into trucks like
that. So I've got a new van, you know that?
Oh, I know you turned up in it today.
Larry one. And
Transit.
It's a Transit, yeah, but it's not like, I mean, it is a Transit, yeah, but... Anyway, whatever. I looked at the new Hilux.
Oh, okay.
There's a new company.
Sure.
Truck.
Nice.
Very good.
Yeah,
very
there's nice. A picture of it here. Looks delightful.
Well, is that an old one or a new one?
It's a new one.
Yeah, very good.
It's the biggest selling car last year, the new Hilux.
Okay, fine, yeah. 2.8 engine.
Sure. Egypt.
Egypt?
You're never going to get this. I mean, I'll just tell you. Chevrolet T-Series. I mean, look at that.
It's another truck.
It's another truck. Another truck.
I mean,
but a weird-looking one.
Yeah, I mean, that's not available in this country. How would I know that?
That's why I just told you. Pakistan. Oh, this is a whip.
Tuk tuk.
This is a whip. Basically, it's a Suzuki Alto.
Yeah.
That looks like your first car.
No.
What was that weird thing that you had? The weird.
Austin Maestro.
No, there was something else which you said which didn't look too dissimilar to that. It had a turbo or something. Turbo, something weird.
Renault 5 Turbo.
No, you cars that you've owned.
Yeah, well, I've owned them.
Oh, sorry. What was it? It had a weird name. We talked like a.
Robin Milan?
No, okay, moving on. Anyway, well, Suzuki Alto. I can see that cruising around the cities of Pakistan.
Fiat Uno.
No, mate. Well, come on. What is a weird car that I hadn't really heard of?
Well,
that looked a bit like that.
No, I don't know. I've never.
I'm going to dig out the old episode. I could see you in that too.
When I was 12.
Spain. Now, again, you might be able to guess this, but if you don't, you'll...
Seat.
Okay, so number two was Seat.
Yeah.
But they had a bit of a drop. So there's a new one. It's a very recognisable name in the car world because it was taking the piss out of a lot on Top Gear.
It was taking the piss out... What, the recent Top Gears or the old ones?
Old ones back in the day.
Really?
Yep. By James May, I think.
Dacia.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Sandero?
Yeah.
Is it really? Yeah.
Number one seller. Spain. Dacia Sandero. 24,000. Weird, oh, isn't it?
Very weird.
Yeah.
It's the Renault.
Toppling the indigenous Seat Leon from its 2019 throne. Interesting. Philippines. What's that?
I don't know what it is.
You're not going to guess. So it's a Toyota Vios, which looks like a five-door Prius. I'm just trying to see if there's any more information about it.
Well, it's probably what it is.
I didn't see that from the Philippines, I have to say. It's I don't know what I was expecting, but maybe something a bit more SUV, trucky, or... That's like an executive saloon car.
Yeah.
I guess they're into their executive saloons in the Philippines.
Hybrid.
Is it a hybrid?
Well, it's got to be. Everything's hybrid with Toyota, isn't it?
No, surely not. Best-selling Vios extended its market share. Toyota, what did I say? Vios.
Yeah, if it's like a price, it will be.
The Vios, such little information. The best-selling sedan.
What? Of course there's little information. It's not even here.
No, I know. It's not hybrid. You can get loads of different ones. Oh, they literally do every single combination.
You can have a hybrid.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let us know, people. Moving on.
Factual as normal.
Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia?
Yeah. Quirky car here.
A Jeep?
No. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say as well, I mean, this one would be more G-Wagon appropriate, but I was going to say new Land Cruiser. But it's not. It's a Hyundai Elantra.
Is that an SUV?
You tell me. No. Another saloon car. Another executive saloon car.
Well, they've built roads out there now.
Yeah. No. Saudi's got some proper roads. Just pipped the Toyota Camry. Okay. Cool.
Toyota Camry.
Vietnam, another Toyota Vios.
They're smashing it out there, aren't they?
They are killing it with the Vios. Probably don't even pronounce it that way. South Africa. We've already had it. It's already been on the list.
Has it?
Yep. Think of it. Where's what other country we've talked about which has similar characteristics to South Africa? Don't know your geography that well.
No, I do.
Don't say the Philippines.
And what about the what was the one that we nearly got not the Land Cruiser the truck
the Toyota Hilux
it's back again.
You're looking awesome. South Africa, Indonesia again. I'm going to rattle through it because you're just not going to get it. A Honda Brio.
Never heard of it,
bro. It's like a little hatchbacky. It's not a good looking thing, gotta be honest. But they sold nearly 41,000 of them. So
that's amazing. Some of these cars we've never even heard of.
Car market in Indonesia, insane.
You've been there?
Yeah. Bali a lot, and then Jakarta.
Oh yeah, of course.
But big car buyers, but like cool car scene as well. Australia. Now this makes sense a bit to me, but I wouldn't have guessed it. So again, let's think. Australia, South Africa, Argentina. Oh, quite similar, but not exactly the same. Are you getting my... get what I mean? Wink,
is it,
wink.
Is it the ute thing? pickup truck ute thing. What's it called? Is it the Volt? The...
Oh, no, sorry. It's exactly the same. It's another Hilux.
Oh!
They just used a different picture. I was looking at the list. I was like, oh, this must be a different version. I think there's an Australia-specific version.
Yeah.
But the Hilux killed it. 45,000. So, fair play. Go on the Hilux. The Hilux at the minute is killing it. The best-selling car in the world at the minute, I'm saying, is the Hilux.
The Hilux, yeah.
We'll start to add things up. UK.
Fiesta.
Well done. Mexico.
Mexico?
Yeah. You're not going to get this right.
What? Is it a Ford?
Nope.
Oh.
It's a Nissan Versa.
I don't know what that is.
Nope.
Do you know what that is?
Nope.
Oh.
Turkey.
Turkey?
Yeah.
Mercedes.
Nope.
No?
A Fiat Egea.
Don't know. Well, I don't know what that
is. I mean, another... You know what I'm working out, which is probably a really naive mentality. People love an executive saloon car.
Apart from this country.
Apart from this country.
Because it's really not big in this country, unless it's a performance car.
And maybe that's why I was naive. Maybe that's why I didn't clock it. But like, all these other countries going mad for the saloons. France. Think of the Swedes.
It's not Volvo.
No, but similar. It's France. They're very proud to be
French. Yeah, it's a little, it's a 208 or a...
It's a Peugeot 208.
Yeah.
92,000 Peugeot 208s in France.
Yeah, amazing.
Well done, mate. Not too bad at this job, are you?
No.
What was that? I wonder, sometimes they do number twos and threes. Oh, Citroen. Oh, no, Citroen suffered the biggest drop. Anyway, yeah, Peugeot 208. Go on, France. I kind of like countries that... Like, we should... Like, the UK's best car should be a McLaren or an Aston Martin. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know, don't say no like that.
You should buy British, you mean?
You should buy British. Or, yeah. You know, go on, France. Go on, Sweden. And what are we doing?
Buying everything else. Buying American. American, German.
Ford, Fiesta.
Yeah, but in general, I think...
It's a very UK-specific car, but it's an American company. Ford Motor Company.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that that's the best-selling car.
Oh, let's not get into this.
Not that. But I would say the best-selling cars in the country are German.
Yeah, fair. Didn't we do a special talking about UK cars?
Probably.
Okay.
Well, they've done 100. I can't remember them all.
See, Italy have done well as well.
Italy?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I know what that is. Fiat?
Yep. Any guess which one?
500.
No.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you've been to Italy a lot. So
a lot.
Just think like a bit cooler than a 500, a bit more Italian. No one else would ever buy it except the Italians. What could it be? It's a...
The little sports car thing?
Nope.
Really?
No.
What, another Fiat?
Come on, like the funny one, which is actually quite good.
The Tipo?
No.
No, what is it then?
The Panda.
Oh!
Yeah! 110,000 Fiat Pandas.
Oh, you know why I didn't? Because they just blend in Italy.
Yeah. It's the most popular car, honestly, from new to old. Like, you see them everywhere.
And they're all... 4x4, they were... Beaten up.
Beaten to hell.
Even if they're brand new.
But that's what I love, that they're still buying new ones. I mean, there's so many old crappy ones knocking around, but... Yeah, absolutely killing it. And again, proud. Go on, Italy. I mean, maybe they're making better cars. And Russia. Come on, Russia. You're not going to know the model, but you can guess the make.
Russia.
The only Eastern European car that anyone knows.
Dacia.
No.
What then? Lancia.
Lada!
Oh, Lada! Oh, is that still the best-selling car there, Lada?
126,000, Lada Granta. Granta.
They don't really sell anywhere else, do they?
No. No. Anyway, it's an ugly-looking car, but...
Yeah.
Proud of themselves. Canada, essentially the American version of what we've seen everywhere else in the world so far.
Hilux.
So what would the American Hilux be?
F-150.
Yeah, Ford F-Series. Brazil.
Yeah.
Chevrolet Onix. It's a weird little hatchbacky thing.
No idea. Yeah. There's a lot of like hatchbacks and saloons, aren't there?
Yeah.
But still.
It's still like, doing well. Saloons are the most popular, I guess. Germany? Sorry, go on, what were you going to say?
Not in this country.
No, I know. That's why I'm so surprised.
But not in many other countries either, mate.
Haven't we talked about a lot of saloons?
Well, you've put weird countries.
No, this is the top 30. These are the biggest selling countries, like... It's done by the total volume. So anything lower than this, their maximum sales of any one car was less than 7,500. Doesn't really matter.
Really?
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Oh, have you done UK then?
Yeah, Ford Fiesta.
Oh yeah, we've done that, yeah. I mean, you're messing me up here. So what about...
Germany.
Yeah.
Go on. It's number 7 on the list. We're at it right now.
Germany. Well, it's a German car. Oh, God. 3 Series.
See, that's what I would have said. I literally was about to interrupt saying, I would have guessed 3 Series.
Not a C-Class.
Nope.
1 Series.
Nope. Better ballpark, though. You're in the better...
A3.
Nope. You're too premium.
Golf.
Yeah, Volkswagen Golf.
Yeah. Why didn't I just say that in the first place? Stupid man.
136,000 Golfs in Germany. Yeah. South Korea. Again, stuck to what they know.
Kia.
Hyundai.
Yeah, same thing. Well, basically.
Bit racist.
No, it's not.
145,000 grandeurs, which again, a very nice executive saloon. Looks super nice. Japan.
Toyota.
Yeah, guess which one? The only one.
The Yaris.
Yeah, the Yaris, 151,000. I mean, like, come on, guys, buy British. What could be, let's start a campaign.
No, let's not.
Come on, what would be, okay, forget the sports car makers. What's an entry-level British car brand?
All right, we'll reel them off, shall we?
Go on.
What, made in Britain?
Made in, like, British car brand. I don't care where it's made.
Land Rover.
Oh, yeah, well done. I'm not very good at this, am I? Or Jaguar.
No.
Yes. Okay,
what,
so
over a German car?
So you want... The biggest... No, I'm saying about let's be proud of what we make here. Can you reel off some others, by the way? Because my brain's not working. Jaguar, Land Rover.
Made here. There's a lot of cars made here.
No.
Vauxhall made here.
Okay. But are they still a British brand? Because they're owned by Opel, right?
Yeah, no. They're American, not... no, they're not. They're French. Vauxhall.
Okay. Of course, they're part of Stellantis now.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I mean. I mean, British brand. Aston Martin, McLaren, Jaguar, Land Rover.
ProDrive.
Okay, so let's focus on Jaguar.
I mean, there's not many, mate.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So we won. I want to start a Caterham, Lotus.
Oh, I hope it
but that's
rain.
What I mean. I'm like, what's the mass market British brand? It's Jaguar Land Rover, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I want the Jaguar XE to be Britain's best-selling car moving
no
forward.
No chance.
I'm going to start a campaign. We've got to be... Look at all these countries doing so well, promoting their own products. Brexit's happened now. I don't want to get into the politics of it. I'm not saying I'm two or four or against. But let's buy British!
What? I mean, they don't work.
But we should be proud of what we do. We should fly the flag for our country. And I love Jaguars, even though I forgot they were made here.
We should be proud that a Brummie's built it asleep.
Well, everyone could buy F-types. Anyway, I just feel like it's a shame that we're here and we've got money Ford as our biggest selling car.
Oh, yeah, because there's a reason for that. I mean, maybe Jaguar Land Rover don't make a car for the mass market. If they're that bothered, make a little hatchback to rival the Fiesta.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. That's the thing is, I think all of our brands are too specialist. As I say, like Lotus isn't going to... You don't have the best-selling car in the UK being an Exige, are you?
No.
So, okay. Thailand. I'm guessing everyone's buying one car because it's the Isuzu D-Max. 160,000. It's a pickup truck. It's a very nice-looking, aggressive pickup truck in Thailand.
I sell them in this country, D-Max.
Do they? Oh, nice. Okay.
They're cheap, but yeah.
India, as you'd expect, big up on the list. Lots of numbers. I don't think you're going to get this, so I'm going to just tell you what it is.
How far is it up the list?
It's number 3.
Oh, right.
It's a Suzuki Swift. Can't say that quickly. Go on.
It's a Suzuki Swift.
but they rebranded there. They're called Marutis.
It is
a Suzuki, but it's called Maruti. So the Jimny is a Maruti. Oh, what's the... Anyway. China. Mm-hmm.
Toyota.
Nope.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, they just copy everything, don't they?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be something we'd never heard of. It's a Nissan Sylphy.
But is it made by Nissan or is it made by them? Or is it just a copy?
No, it is the Nissan. It's an executive Nissan.
Okay, fine.
And Toyota Corolla was the biggest before that.
Yeah.
But 542,000 Nissan Sylphys were.
So to put that into context, how many Fiestas are sold in this country?
What was it, 40,000 or something?
I was going to say. Yeah. So look at the market compared to here.
Well, and then the biggest selling car in the world, do you know this, the actual, in terms of numbers?
I don't know the numbers, but I can probably guess where it is.
Because we haven't mentioned it yet, so go on.
Is it in America?
Yep. So let's have a guess. Like it's
not a car.
What?
It's an F-150 pickup truck.
It's the Ford F-Series.
Yeah.
And you would know if you ever spend any time in America, and American viewers will know and testify. It's obvious. When you're there, it's just obvious. So 787,000 F-Series sold.
Amazing.
And that's pretty much like every year. So the US remains the second largest new car market. That's weird because...
China.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Second, but the single... but unsurprisingly, the tops the sales chart for the 39th year in a row.
Amazing.
So for 39 years, it's been the best-selling car in America. So they're just everywhere. Absolutely everywhere.
Ford don't need to make anything else apart from that.
Yeah. So the one car which I'm surprised I haven't seen anywhere, Jeep Wrangler. Because I kind of assumed that in some country somewhere, that might win out. Because I know it does very well for the Fiat group.
Well, it might do, but... If there's only four people in that country, then who cares? You don't need to. Doesn't wait. No, but what I'm saying.
It hasn't amassed the total amount needed. But I sort of assumed that maybe somewhere, as I say, in a Thailand or a Philippines or something like that, it might have crept in somewhere. But it didn't. The Hilux is obviously the one. So that my takeaway from that is the F series and the Hilux are the two biggest.
Not even cars.
Yeah, they're not even cars. Even though numbers wise, Hilux doesn't. It was the amount of countries that are buying Hiluxes. Yeah. Kind of interesting that, huh?
Which is why they're two of the biggest car makers in the world.
Yeah.
Probably because of them cars. Take them cars out of the equation, they're probably nowhere near. They just built a product many years ago that has just sold in the masses.
So what we should do is get Jaguar or Land Rover to build a pickup. Then we can buy British.
Land Rover already build like a pickup.
What?
A Defender.
It's not a pickup there. Got to build a proper truck.
Well, they do one. You can get the old shape one.
Oh, yeah, the old shape one, yeah, fine. But this is new car sales.
Yeah, yeah, but what I'm saying is that they've obviously tried.
Imagine
that.
An F-Pace pickup.
No, it's not a thing in this country, is it? I mean, the roads are tiny.
Yeah.
Have you seen one of them Raptor things?
Yeah, of course.
You know what I did see when I was picking my van up?
Go on.
Very briefly. Because we're talking about Raptors. I saw one of them Raptor. Oddly.
Ranger or F-150?
Yeah, no.
The
Ranger Raptor. Parked next to a normal Ranger Wildtrak.
Sure.
And it's like double the size.
Yeah, it's a beast.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more money, but it's got like proper suspension.
It's proper good, but the thing which I found, which is weird, because actually a guy bought one on Snow Tour a couple of years ago, and they're super cool, and I like it, and I like the idea of it. But if you compare it to an F-150 and what that Raptor does, it's not the same improvements. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not the same step.
No.
So it's cool Ranger Raptor, but it's not done that. It's not had that same effect, I don't think.
It's not for this country, is it? I mean, it's not, you know.
People that buy trucks here don't really buy trucks because they want a performance one.
No.
You know, it's not what they're going about. So.
No.
Anyway, I think that brings an end to today's 100th episode. I mean,
unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So we'll celebrate properly soon. We do actually have a pretty big announcement coming soon, which I'm literally leaving it right to the end of the episode when everyone stopped listening, to tease. Patrons are going to be finding about this first, but it has, of course, to do with live audiences.
Do I know about it? Oh, I know about this. No.
Yeah, so we're just finalising some details. But yeah, keep your ears tuned in.
And your eyes opening.
And your eyes open.
Open.
If you want to follow us anywhere, at Tony Gravelwood Car Sales. Is that right? Something like that.
Yeah. I need some cars, mate.
Oh, you need some stock.
I'm really, really struggling for cars. So 0 to 4 year old, sports, performance, prestige, SUV. Please give me a ring. DM me.
X3M40i?
Yeah, I told you I love it.
Good.
Yeah.
If you want to follow me, I'm Seen Through Glass Anywhere. If you're watching here on YouTube, subscribe, turn on notifications. If you're listening to us, keep listening on whatever platform you are. We'll catch up with you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.